Morning, sir.
Hello.
Good morning.
Eddie, I still need you to make me a host if you want me to put those presentations on.
Good morning. Is Chairperson there?
Morning, Eddie.
Oh, okay. Just show your number. Okay. Chairperson, is 9 o'clock. And then including yourself, we've got 5 members. So we've got a quorum to start the meeting.
No, thank you very much, Eddie. I'm right in Cape Town. Where I am, the signal keeps on kicking me out and so on and so forth. So that is why you can't see my face. But welcome to the meeting to everyone. Well, welcome to our invitees and greetings, Minister, Deputy Minister, and the Management of Home Affairs, and greetings to members of Parliament. We're meeting one more time after a number of things that are happening. The highlight, I think, is the metric results that came out yesterday, and we congratulate the class of 2021 for the metric results, under very difficult circumstances. I'm also made aware that a child of one of our member Kanyile, also passed with flying colors. Congratulations to you, Honorable Kanyile, and all others who have made it. In view of the fact that my network is very bad here, I'm going to request Honorable Chabane to share the meeting. I'll keep on getting in and out as it kicks me out the network, but I'll be, for all intents and purposes, in the meeting. Over to you, Honorable Chabane.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for opening the meeting and the opening remarks, and greeting all members on our behalf, members of the Members' Parliament. Good morning, Minister and delegation, the DM, the DG, and all officials in our meeting. Agenda is to be flagged here by AD. If you can do that just for purpose of unless Eddie Adams.
It should be displaying Chairperson, acting chair.
Yeah, I don't think you can see it. You can, are you able to? Yes, yes, better now. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Adams. Thank you very much. That is our agenda for today. We'll be opening remarks as the chair has briefly opened the meeting. We'll run on the apologies. Then we'll, the third point will be a briefing from Mr. Tsepo. Tepe, if I'm calling the name correctly. And after that will be the Department of Home Affairs. And after that, it will be after that will be comments. Is this a final agenda? Because it appears it repeats itself, Eddie.
Chair, the like I indicated, you know, it will be on the issue of the permits. It will be Mr. Tepe who makes the presentation, then the Department of Home Affairs. So I put labor there, but later yesterday I received a call that the labor will do a co-presentation with the Department of Home Affairs. So in other words, they might have to answer questions relating to the Home Affairs presentation. So Labour will not make that presentation. Then from there will be questions and comments, and then there will be response by the TEPO and the Home Affairs and the Department of Labour. And then okay, there's a way forward there.
Okay, thank you. And then we'll deal with the the researcher who will brief us on the SONA outcome. I think we've received the slides. Just indicate the president the highlights in relation to security cluster in the main our the Home Affairs, and then issues to which he has also responded in his reply for after debate of SONA. And then we'll then deal with the consideration of outstanding minutes. The point number seven, colleagues, we'll look at it as the agenda flows. I was alerted that we can shift the point number seven to Friday, but it depends on how we're performing. I'm going to be strict on time so that sufficient allocated time from the side of the complainant and the department and members have enough time to interact with the presentation. And then they will work on the closer. I think the chair must also work towards getting proper network. I'll hand over to the chair to make closing remarks. Thank you, colleagues. You are all welcome to the meeting. I'm going to move straight to the agenda, to the apologies. I'll start with the AD. I'll go to the department, and I'll request also the department, given that they are here with the other stakeholders, the minister or DM or the DG, to run on the members of the department who are here from Labour and Home Affairs. Eddie?
Thanks, Chairperson. The only apology that I received is that of Ms. Dito, who's still on maternity leave. And then the second part is that Ms. Mlekwa, she's in the meeting, but she indicated that she's going to leave at 11. That's all.
Thank you. Minister of Home Affairs?
Thank you very much, Whip and Chairperson of the day. Thank you, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Advocate Bongo, and members of the committee. Chairperson, we have got two DGs here. There is DG Tommy Makode, the DG of the Department of Home Affairs. We also have got DG Lamati, the department, the DG of the Department of Labor. Can I give the opportunity to them to introduce their various interests? Thank you very much.
DG Home Affairs.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to the members. Good morning, Minister. Good morning to the Deputy Minister. From our side, I'm joined by DDG Jackson McKay, responsible for Immigration Services. I'm also joined by DDG Thomas Degama, responsible for Civic Services. And then there's DDG Tulani Mavuso, who's responsible for Institutional Planning and Support, the CFO. And then there's our Chief Director responsible for Strategy, and also Mr. Muzi as well. Thanks.
Thank you, DG Home Affairs. DG Labour?
Good morning, Chairperson and the honorable members, ministers and colleagues. From my side, I'm joined by the DDG responsible for Public Employment Services, Mr. Sam Murotoba, and the head of our legal services, Professor Vimla Singh, and the staff of the minister and the deputy minister, they are part of the meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. I think I note that there's no apology on behalf of the two departments. The minister is leading the delegation of both the director general and also officials. Thank you very much. We'll go straight to the, okay, the complainant, can you introduce yourself? Sorry to call you complainant, Mr. Matepia. Thank you, apology for, Mr. Matepia.
Can you ask him to unmute, Chair?
Can you unmute, Mr. Matepia?
All right, can you hear me?
Yes, can you introduce yourself?
All right, good morning. My name is Abelo Tepe. I'm at the moment alone because some of the guys are still on the way. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, colleagues. We are here on this item. We are going to allow Mr. Matepe and the department to run through the notes, presentations to us. You know that we're here because of the complaint we've received from the team, which is led by Mr. Matepe, around the issue of the permits, which are alleged to have been issued illegally at the Department of Home Affairs. We've taken that decision to the committee. I think we must note that we've taken a decision that those permits must be withdrawn. We've tasked the Department of Home Affairs to engage in the process of investigation and also go beyond the investigation in this area. give a scan notes to ourselves. They have indicated in the correspondences which they've been dealing with the Home Affairs that they're engaging with Department of Labor and other departments in relation to this matter. Hence, with the chairperson and the committee have invited yourselves, all of you, to come and deliberate on this matter, given opportunity, so that we're able to get a sight on all the issues that have been presented. That is the objective of inviting, and we've taken this decision to get into interaction directly with the issues. So we're going to give you, Mr. Matsepe, time. We're going to give the department time, and members are going to interact with both the reports that are there, and they will therefore, at this time, we'll invite you, Mr. Matsepe.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Ranch.
Sorry. Can I also caution members that you know that the sitting has started of Parliament. We're not going to have an opportunity to extend time. All members that are here, some of them were going to the House. Our meeting is going to end at 12, and then we'll give opportunity to members to travel to their to Parliament, some of us who are here. So when you present, get directly to the issues. Preamble is important, but it's not it's things that we've interacted with. Get zoom to the issues so that we're able to minimize time and open more for discussion. I'm just referring to all those that are going to make presentations. Mr. Matsepe, thank you.
Thank you very much. My name is Thapelo Tepe, it's not Matsepe. It's fine. I'm a businessman and entrepreneur from Rustenburg. Firstly, let me make this point clearly so that it can be noted and corrected going forward. It's not directly to mining services that has complained. It is myself as a former director and owner of Rakhizo Mining, and also the Greater Bafokeng Business Forum, and some businessmen from Bafokeng as well. These are the three people they have already submitted to the Chief of Staff of Department of Home Affairs. Firstly, let me correct I like to call it some lies, because these are the things that are causing us to be able to differ in our report going forward. Firstly, Rakhizo was formed in 2005, and by 2015 and 16, we were already operating in three provinces. We already had more than 2,000 permits. The last permits, all the permits that we have, was in 2016. Let's note that 2016. It was renewed in, it expired in 2019, and then from 2019, the last one is going to expire in 2022, October 2022. I've submitted a copy of that permit to show the proof thereof. So anybody who's going to be saying anything after that is not telling the truth, because in 2017, we didn't get any permits. In 2018, we didn't get any permits. And secondly, let's work on this one. Let me quickly then, before I explain further, because I resigned from Rakhizo Mining Services mainly because I was tired of being a contract miner. Rakhizo Mining was the largest black contract miner in South Africa. But I wanted more, so I've started my own mining. We're producing coal. We are now busy buying some shafts in Rustenburg that have been closed, with the aim of at the end creating about 8,000 jobs from all those shafts that have been closed. We've started a bigger project in one of the foreign local country, but I'm not going to say it. It's a CDM project. So that's the reason why I resigned from RMS. But the reason why I resigned from Rakhizo to Rustimoni was because there was a tender for the similar project we're talking about. One person came to me, one of the managers came to me and said, we mustn't tender. And therefore, I then complained to one of the black managers why they're closing us out. And finally, the guy was fired. And obviously I became a personal non grata at the Rustimoni mine. And then they requested me to move on. So it's not Rakhizo Rustimoni. It's not even Rakhizo that is complaining. And secondly, when the tender, when the opportunity came in 2017, the white companies and some of the Bafokeng mines, they put a tender, an amount of 2 billion rand to buy the business from the Guptas when the Guptas were on the run, because they didn't have an account at the time. they were the first people who the mines were talking to. They were not even talking to us. The problem was that they didn't have permits. And finally, they came to us, and then they asked us, we've got permits, and said, you said, yes. And said, how many? We said, how much you want? And they told us how much, and said, we have them. Because we've been hiring people in all the three provinces, hiring foreigners as well, mixing them with local people as well. And at the time, I think we had about 6,000 employees at the time. Now, after that, they then decided they were going to take our permits to Home Affairs to go and check their validity. Now, I want to use the names of the of a political party so you can understand what I'm saying. Say, for instance, we've got ANC head office, and we've got ANC in Gauteng. The DA, as the owner of the mine, will then say, go to EFF, which is the Home Affairs, and ask the EFF Home Affairs to say, does ANC Gauteng, can they allow, are they allowed to use the permits of ANC National? That's basically what happened, because the names of the...
Mr. Tseppen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me advise you, because you are presenting for our people who are watching.
Yeah.
And it will be advisable that you avoid to use the DA, EFF, and AHP. It may be interpreted, but just stick to... You can use any other example, but just avoid. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, but basically what I mean is that the main company, which is Rashid Mining Services, and we've got subsidiaries under it. So the issue was that, can they use the permits that are written in Rahetui, which is the main company, while they've given the contract to Rahetui Rasimono, which is the subsidiary. That was the only issue. They went to Home Affairs to check if that was valid or allowed to. I was trying to make an example so that I mustn't be asked later on. So I think it's clear. Then in that case, then they were told that they can go ahead, we can use the permits. Then we started to operate in 2018. And obviously, the end of 2019, they told us that the contract is going to come to end, but I'm not going to be saying what happened and why we came to that point. And unfortunately, then what happened was at the end of 2020, Rakhetu was given another 3 months until March this year. And then at the time, we gave employees the permits so they can go home. And obviously, I've seen one of the reports where the minister said they were given permits on Christmas because people wanted to go home and they didn't have permits. That is not the truth. And obviously, that's what they told the minister. So I wanted to correct that one. Let's get into the issue of Section 197. We then asked for a lot of advice for various lawyers who are dealing in this area. We then submitted some of this information to the portfolio committee, because clearly it says 197, you are not entitled to have permits, even if you're taking over that company. That has been cleared. I'm not going to get into it as well. Now, the issue around it, the issue of Section 17 is the same as if you die and then your daughter, your son, you know, inherit your gun or license, but automatically they are not going to own the license and a driving license and a gun license. They must work for it. And that was our argument to say, you have taken the employees of Rahetui. Some of them Rahetui started to recruit from 2005. You have taken them using the law, which is basically Section 197. The reason why Rahetui didn't want to contest it was because the year before, the group just wanted to contest it and they lost the case. And also, Rahetui leaders were harassed. There were a lot of things that was done to really, that was really shocking. And then the decision was taken that it's fine, let them take our people. But immediately after that, when they went to the Department of Labor in Rustenburg and they went to the Department of Home Affairs, the DDG was dealing with the permits, they were told that you cannot get permits, you have to go through the process. Now, just on that basis, they decided to ignore it and then go to National. What then happened was that they finally got permits, which we were then surprised. And or we were told at the time that this is what they're paying. And hence, that's why I went to Mr. Mkiva to report it so that he can be able to speak to some of the leaders to say, these are some of the things that we don't agree with. That if they use the law to take our employees, why are they going through the back doors to be able to take these things? Now, let me quickly talk about the issue of the waiver and the issue of the presidential, the pronouncement that was mentioned by the minister, because that is one of the things that has become a contention to us. This is the a report that was done by a lawyer where he says the assertions by the minister are not only problematic, but also wrong in that the minister does not have authority to waive the legal precepts of national legislation. Also, in the letter, the minister fails to point to a specific regulation, proclamation, or a gazette which support the purported assertions. The minister also asserted that because this was a Section 197 transfer, all those employees will have been entitled to be transferred in terms of Section 197 of the LRA. The minister is or might be correct to make such assertions. However, inter-transfer does not waive the requirements under Section 21 of the Immigration and Immigration Regulation 20. We therefore conclude that the conduct of the minister of issuing expired work visas to the general laborers and in violation of the gazette of the critical skills list is questionable and must be investigated. And these are some of the things that the lawyers started to issue as well, to say some of these things, because they're not gazetted, the minister cannot come in then start to use them and say, therefore on that basis, we gave them the permission. And that's why even the Greater Bafokeng business forums are saying from 2010 to 2017, the Guptas were running the business in Bafokeng. Their children were not being employed. From 2018 to 2020, it was RMS. And now they're saying they're going to take an action if these permits are not going to be reversed, either violent or taken to court, because they're saying their children are dying of COVID and they cannot even now be told for the third time that their children are not going to be employed because there's another section of 197 that has to take place while they're ignoring their own children that are in the area and be able to work as well. Now, and let me quickly then go into the issue that also, like I'm saying, is one of the contention that we have seen that the department has been using, and we believe that we need to be looking into this and really punch holes into it, because when you look at Section Immigration Act, the Section 21 of the Immigration Act of 2002, Act Number 13 of 2002, firstly, it says a corporate visa may be issued with permit of generals, Director General to a corporate applicant. We agree with that. Number one, it's fine. Tick. The box is ticked. Number two, it says the Director General shall determine in consultation with the prescribed department. Now, so automatically, if you choose, if there it is a law, number two, which is basically saying you must consult and they don't consult, it means it's strike number one. They didn't consult and therefore it becomes illegal. Number three, it says the Director General may withdraw or amend a corporate visa for good and reasonable cause. May withdraw or amend. You can only withdraw or amend something that is existing. Now, I'm an engineer, and already I'm saying this clause doesn't talk about a new person who comes in and gets a permit or uses as a reason to say you're giving them a permit because the DG may withdraw or amend. The DG may amend or withdraw a corporate visa. It means it is existing. Now, as an engineer, if I'm putting holes on this thing, if this thing goes to the judges and people who have got experience in this thing, they're going to put a big hole in this thing. And what will then happen is that all the permits that have been issued from 2018, 2019, using the waiver that the minister is talking about, they are going to be reversed. And that's going to be even costly for the department, not only for in terms of what is currently happening at the moment. Now, let me quickly talk about the issue that was mentioned by the mining that was mentioned about the mining council. The mining council clearly says they are talking about their own people who they are representing. They are not talking about somebody who's new. So why would somebody who's Mafikizola comes in and then is entitled to have permits? They are talking about companies that are existing to ensure that it becomes easier for the guys to submit. Like, for instance, we submitted in 2016 and then our permits were renewed in 2019. Without going through all those processes that we went. Because some of us, we went through the whole process for 2 years. Most of the guys who went, there were a lot of guys who they never got permits. And some of them, they've even given up. And some of them, they're willing to say, if we take this into court, we're willing to come. Is that we don't want our names to appear because we're afraid that, you know, we're not going to get jobs and so forth. So that on its own, also I want to advise the department as well that, even though you've given the mining council that waiver, be careful of the danger that comes with it. Because now you've got Chinese companies, and there are a lot of them in Northwest. There are a lot of people who are bringing Chinese from China to come in South Africa. They are doing the jobs that South Africans can do. And if they've got 5,000 permits, it means they're going to have 5,000 permits forever. Because You are excluding the Department of Labor, who's supposed to be cautioning them to say, when you started, we gave you 5,000. How many skills have you transferred? How many people have you ensured the South Africans are getting the jobs out of this thing? So, yes, you can be able to do that for now, but there's a danger with it, and we are only and asking the department, make sure you correct this thing, because this will forever make sure that our people will never get jobs as well. Then quickly talked about the issue of the SADC protocol on employment and labor. This, to use this argument to justify why due process was not followed and excluding the Department of Labor, especially for new companies, that is very unfortunate. And maybe our South African citizens should know that even during the state of emergency, the 30% unemployment rate means nothing to our government. Because as long as our neighbors are happy, or we are seen as we are doing the right thing for them, then maybe that is good to the government. But at the moment, all the countries all over the world, they're all looking after their own people. And why our government is not becoming selfish there now at the moment when there's COVID, people are dying. There's a state of emergency, people don't have jobs anymore. So why is our government not standing where people to then say, look, if there's an opportunity to be able to open up, to say to all the people, you're not going to transfer or hire people from outside. Hire people from inside the country. Yes, there were times when there were not many local people who got skills. But there are a lot of people in South Africa from Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng, Northwest, and now Limpopo, because at the time when we were in Limpopo, there were very few people who had skills, but many people have got skills at the moment. And we are appealing and asking to our own government now to say, we cannot continue with the same status quo to ensure that when opportunities like this come, we are unable to be able to hire people. And that was our argument, to then say, put this thing aside so that Bafokeng can be able to be empowered. Because when you talk to the greater Bafokeng and why they're fighting at the moment, they're saying, 10 people were nominated from some of the villages that are not even affected or in the area. There was never a tender. And clearly that's why we were all agreeing and saying, and we believe that corruption might have happened in this thing. We can't put a hand into it because we did send our people who recorded some of the people from NAM, because the chairperson of NAM confirmed that he called the minister of mining, which is Mr. Gordon Mantashe, to ask him to help them with the permits, because the Department of Labor and Rustenburg and the Home Affairs, they were giving them tough time. And apparently they were told to go and get somebody in Pretoria, who then went and obviously spoke to the acting DDG, which is what I'm told is Mr. McKay, Executive McKay. I'm not sure if that name is right. And then he then also issued the permits between 23rd, 26th with one guy, Mr. Mbele as well, who is reporting to one of the DDGs who was giving them these guys the tough time. So we then asked ourselves, if the guy from the Rustenburg was refusing, as we're telling them that you must go through the process, the DDG who's issuing permits was telling them this is the process, and they decided to jump him and then go to these guys. And when we asked even the what do you call it, that online thing they were speaking about, the guys told us straight that nobody even came here. They just called and then they were kind of like tick the boxes. And that's where now we started to say, while we have went through all this vigorous process of applying through the media to prove that people didn't have skills and it took a long time for us to have, why is now suddenly companies that the 10 of them, they've never worked in any mine. They've never had any experience. And that's why as soon as this happened, the employees, the NAM in the branch area said to the Department of Mineral and Energy and the NAM National, why are you throwing us under the bus? Because these people are going to kill us. They don't have experience. They've never been working the mind themselves. There's only one guy who was given a project last year and he failed this month. And therefore, that's why we then concluded that these people are a front. There's somebody who's running this business. And some of the leaders of NAM in the regional area, they come to employees and they told them blindly that, you know, this couple of yours will never stop us because our minister is handling the Minister of Home Affairs. We even called the chairperson of portfolio committee, although he didn't help them. So we then continue to then say, in this time of Ntwele, we cannot continue to have a situation that we're having and allowing this thing to happen. We then spoke to the Department of Labor via the DG, who also told us that they were told by cabinet that in this time of COVID or state of emergency, they cannot hire foreigners who with the job that South Africans can do. I'm not anti, I'm not anti whatever foreigners. I mean, obviously, some of the bigger pressure that I have is in the foreign country as well. But all I'm saying is that everybody is looking after themselves. Why can't we be able to then say, in this moment, in this hour, yes, we did that in 2019, in 2018, but at this moment, we cannot continue to be able to do the very same thing. And our final appeal to the minister is that do the right thing, minister. Set this permit aside. Don't be threatened by Bafokeng to say they're going to sue you. Why should they sue you? Or were they the one who applied? And I'm saying, on what basis they're going to be saying it? Because the people were told, this is a process where you have to follow. And now, finally, I see people trying to, the report that are coming, all of them talking about long things that happened and trying to justify to say Tepe or Rasimoni was given the same thing using the waiver. Rasimoni was never, I mean, Rachet was never given any permits by anybody. If Rasimoni gave us the permits or went and helped us to get the permits, they would have done it for the white owned companies that are many in that mine as well. They would have done it for some of the few, one or two Bafokeng companies. We were the last ones. Why would they help us when we're the last one? They didn't even really like us because one of my partner, they said he's a vendor from Limpopo and therefore is not local. And therefore, so it's a lie to say we were helped as well or the waiver was done for us. No waiver was done for us. It was only the Section 21, that Part 3 that says the DG has the right to amend or withdraw. Amend, withdraw. You can only amend, withdraw the existing permit. And that was only the basis. And what then happened is that when they even came back and said, the department said your permit is good, nobody called us and say, let's change your permit to make it from 2016 to 2018, or let's amend the names. Nobody did that. And that's what I wanted to make sure that I put this in straight, because all the reports that I've seen or that we're going to hear today, they're going to be talking about all these things that basically you can see somebody's under pressure, is trying to cover them up, and there's no need for it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tepse, for the brief report. The certain housekeeping, AD, our secretary, we must focus on. I think there are certain areas where Mr. Tepo has to put them in writing for purpose of our records. We're noting that the size of allegations that are arising in the main, we must follow all the details so that we must not run allegations without substantiating the details. That part I just want to do highlight so that we're not going to interact. I don't want members to spend time on the issues that we have not received more details. I wanted to highlight that part. I'm advised that Minister of Labour has joined us. Welcome, Minister Ngesi. We've just started. This is the first presentation on the issues, but the delegation that's led by the Minister of Home Affairs has already captured most of the issues. Thank you, Mr. Matsepe. I'm sorry, Mr. Tepe. I don't know why I'm saying Mr. Tepe. Thank you very much for the brief. I'm going to invite Minister Motsoaledi. I don't know how they're going to run. I think you'll guide from your podium on how we are going to run the presentation. Minister Motsoaledi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also greet my counterpart, Minister Ngesi, who I've heard has just joined us, and also the Deputy Minister of Home Affairs, my colleague, Mr. Nzuza, and also the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee and members of the committee, and Mr. Tabelo Tepo also. Chairperson, I want to put it on record, and if possible, I'm declaring under oath with everybody listening, that until I had a report that there is problem with corporate visas that were issued by Home Affairs, until that time, I want to put it under oath, I've never, ever spoken to the Minister of Minerals, Resources and Energy. I've never, ever. spoken to him. I only spoke to him when I was asking our DGs to come together after the portfolio committee said this matter must be investigated. And I found that he was hearing for the first time about the issue of corporate visas that has been issued. So the story that a chairperson of NUM said their minister is handling the Minister of Home Affairs, I want it to be investigated. And the chairperson of NUM also called here, and the Minister of Mineral Resources be called and confirm whether he has already been handling me. I don't understand what this issue of handling, one minister handling another. That's the first thing I want to say. The second thing, chairperson, we accepted when the committee said the matter must be investigated. And after consulting Minister Ngesi and Minister Mantashe, and I was talking to them for the very first time, I must say it again. After we spoke to them, they released their DGs to meet and discuss this matter. And their DGs put together a task team, which also consists of legal units of all the three departments. I think it's important for the portfolio committee to listen to this presentation, which will be presented, I believe, by the DG of Home Affairs, representing all the three departments. And I think the Department of Labor might have something to add. So I'll allow DG Makwade to give the joint presentation to this committee. Thank you very much.
DG Makwade.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning to the Minister of Employment and Labour, my counterpart, DG Lamati, Minister Mutsaledi, Deputy Minister Zuza, my colleagues, and also colleagues from Department of Labour. So the purpose really, Chair, is to brief the committee on these visas that we issued, as indicated by yourself. And this is the outline of the presentation, brief introduction, the Immigration Act, which sort of gives the context and the obligations that we have. That is the Immigration Act number 13 of 2002. And then we'll detail the process in terms of the corporate visas and the process that was followed for the two companies, namely Buleng and Penyo. And then there's a pointed question that was raised by the committee in the letter to the minister. What was the involvement of the Department of Labor in employment? We'll respond to that sequence of events. And then the issues that are raised with regard to Section 197 of the LRA. And then two allegations that are made, response to allegations that permits were issued fraudulently. And the response that was further made by Mr. Tsepe that these permits were issued on Christmas Day and Boxing Day, will respond to that. And then, as the minister indicated, we'll then provide a report from the Director General's task team that was set up. And then the leave details for both Mr. Mbele, who's been referred to, and Mr. R.P. Mudima, who are handling this matter. And then, of course, the recommendations. So if I can then move on to the first slide, Chair. So this is just the preamble of the Immigration Act, which places the following obligations on the Department of Home Affairs, namely that we need to ensure that visas are issued as expeditiously as possible, and on the basis of a simplified procedure, which means we have to ensure that it's a simplified procedure and ensure that the requirements are met without, of course, excessive administrative capacity. The second issue that is placed on us in terms of the obligation is that economic growth needs to be promoted through the employment of foreign labor, foreign investment is facilitated, and that the entry of exceptional skilled or qualified people is enabled through the entire SADC region, but also the promotion of tourism. The third area is that the South African economy may have at all times this contribution of foreign workers in terms of our economy. If we can move to the next slide. Now, as part of this mandate, Chair, you will note, I'll switch off the video so that I can save some data here. As part of this mandate, Chair, the Department of Home Affairs issues corporate visas to mining companies who employ foreign labor coming from the SADC region or the Southern African Development Community. And there is Section 21 of the Immigration Act, which stipulates that a corporate visa may be issued by the Director General to a corporate applicant to employ foreigners who may conduct work for such corporate application in the Republic. But further, this Act states that the Director General shall determine, in consultation with the Department of Employment and Labor, the maximum number of foreigners to be employed in terms of a corporate visa by a corporate applicant. In some instances, Chair and committee members, employers may request a waiver of this provision for a good cause. If we can move to the next slide. Now, I know Mr. Tsepe dismisses the SADC protocol on employment and labor. And I don't think the slide is in no way saying we should not favor local South Africans in terms of employment. But I thought it's important to remind this committee, which is responsible for legislation as well, that South Africa is a signatory to the SADC protocol on employment and labor, which was signed by the heads of state in 2014. You will note we have submitted this as part of the documentation. There's probably about four countries that did not sign because they are not the sending SADC countries, namely Mauritius, Madagascar, and Angola, I think. Now, if you were to look at the same protocol, it specifically states that the employment of mine workers from the SADC region is also regulated by this bilateral agreement signed between South Africa and the labor sending countries, which I've just stated. But further, Chair, this protocol provides member states with strategic direction and guidelines for the harmonization of employment labor, as well as social security policies and legislation, and also the promotion of labor as well as social protection, as I indicated. This is an agreement that South Africa signed in 2014. It is an agreement that binds the Republic of South Africa. Neither, Chair, can the Department of Home Affairs just tamper with the protocol, nor the Department of Employment or Labor, nor the Department of Minerals and Energy. So this is a protocol that is in existence. But further, Chair, our immigration regulations also prescribe that for any new corporate visa application, the corporate employer shall submit proof of the need to employ requested number of foreigners. And in 2014, as Home Affairs, we promulgated the new immigration regulations, which of course prescribe that corporate visas should be issued with a validity period of a maximum of 3 years. And this change in legislation was communicated through this directive, number 10, which was issued in 2014. And the purpose, really, Chair, of the directive was to inform all stakeholders that the department will no longer be issuing any open-ended corporate visas. And you'll note that prior to 2014, corporate visas were issued open-ended, meaning that they did not expire. So we had to remedy that gap that existed. If we can move to the next slide. Now, this is the process. The committee also asked us what is the process for this issuance of the corporate visas. You will note that in terms of Section 21 of the Immigration Act, a corporate visa, as Mr. Chepe indicated, may be issued by the Director General to a corporate applicant to employ foreigners who may conduct work for such corporate applicant in the Republic. And the DG shall determine in consultation, as I indicated, with the prescribed departments, the number of those that need to be employed. Further, the Director General may withdraw or amend a corporate visa for good and reasonable cause, as you stated. Now, if you were to look at the Regulation 20, it specifically says corporate visa has prescribed required supporting documents. And on the next slide, we'll then detail that. If you can move to the next slide. So this is the checklist in terms of what is required. At the top, it will be a completed online form, proof of the need to employ the requested number of foreigners, a certificate by the Department of Labor, confirming all those activities that I highlighted on that slide, and then the proof of registration of the corporation with South African Revenue Service, proof of registration with the UIF, and then, of course, with the Compensation Fund for Occupational Injuries and Diseases. We'll come back to this slide further on. If we can move to the next slide. The slide just details the corporate visa process. The applicant must complete that form that I indicated. The applicant or representative with the attorney, a power of attorney, submits that application through the VFS Center, and all the required motivations and supporting documents are then included. If we can move to the next slide, the flowchart. Yeah, that's just the flowchart that details the responsibilities that are allocated to the applicant, what does the VFS does, and the DHA adjudication hub. If we can move to the next slide. I'm taking that the presentation has been read by committee members. Now, if you were to look at the administrative procedures for corporate visas, so an application for a corporate visa must meet all the prescribed requirements. And when an application is processed and approved, there must be proof that all prescribed supporting documents were attached. Any deviations, Chair, from these defined procedures must be fully recorded and documented. Now, if we were to go back to the Immigration Act, it provides for deviations from the defined procedures in two instances, namely Section 21(3), the Director General may withdraw, as I indicated earlier on, or amend a corporate visa for good and reasonable cause. And then Section 31(2)(c) states the minister may, for a good cause, waive any prescribed requirement or form, which is contrary to what Mr. Tsepe said earlier on, that it's not prescribed for. If we can move to the next slide. Now, this slide, Chair, gives you an indication of corporate visas in the mining sector. You will note this immense contribution that the mining sector makes to the South African economy. In 2018, they contributed close to or more than 358 billion to the gross domestic product. Over the years, Chair and committee members, you will note that the number of foreign mine workers in South Africa has been declining due, amongst others, whether it's natural attrition, we know around the challenges of the commodity prices, and of course, the Minister of Labor and the DG of Labor will be able to attest to this. But further, if you were to note, Chair, mines are no longer recruiting foreign mine workers, contrary to what we are being told. Now, if you look at the total of people that were employed in the mining sector by 2018, there were 456,838,000. But in 2000, that number had shrunk to 107,868 foreign mine workers. In 2009, they were at 85,861. Now, 2019, they're about 45,482,000 mine workers. Now, the Mineral Council then requested this waiver of the Department of Employment and Labor certificate. And it's very important that we note this fact. This is for employers who are no longer hiring new foreign employees, but only continuing with the current employees when they apply for new corporate visas. I think this slide is quite important. If we can move to the next one. Now, there's an issue that was raised with regards to whether the waiver, and this is what Mr. Tsepe also alleges, whether this, whether there was a legal requirement for us to gazette the waiver. And the legal advice that we have obtained by the department, if you can move back to that slide, please, Moses. The legal advice that we received clearly indicates that there's no legal requirement to gazette the waiver. Let's proceed to the next one. Now, in order to ensure that there's a smooth transition from what I referred to as the open-ended corporate visas to the new three-year corporate visas, holders of valid corporate visas were encouraged to return any open-ended corporate visas to the department. Now, upon receipt of these open-ended visas, the department will then issue new corporate visas that are valid between 12 to 3 years in order to allow this corporate employer sufficient time to make a formal application for the three-year corporate visa. Now, Riaghetsi Mining Solutions was one of those companies that returned their 2010 open-ended visas to the department. And of course, in line with the procedure of replacing the open-ended visas, they were then issued with a three-year corporate visa to continue the employment of their current employees. If we can move to the next slide. Now, during the same period, I will now address issues that were raised with regards to Section 198 of the Labor Relations Act. During the same period, you will note, Chair, that Royal Bafokeng Ratsimoni Platinum had just served a notice of termination of contract for Afrika Borwa Mining Services, and Riaghetsi Mining Services stated their intent to bid for this contract using their current visa applications to absorb foreign workers from Afrika Borwa and save them from impending possible unemployment. Now, in terms of that Section 197 of the Labor Relations Act of 1995, this then paved way, Chair, for Riaghetsi to employ the disengaged mine workers from Afrika Borwa, provided that all the correct procedures that I highlighted earlier on in the slides were followed. Now, this process was then successfully completed and Riagetsi took over the contract of Afrika Borwa as a going concern. If we can move to the next slide. Now, this just gives the timeline of the issue. Royal Bafokeng Platinum and the service provider with the West Don in 2012. I'm not going to go into details in terms of this because it just gives you the timeline. Afrika Borwa had a staff complement of 1.2, and then which constituted 800 foreign nationals on valid corporate work authorization permits. And then the 800 foreign nationals performed services at Royal Bafokeng Platinum NAM on behalf of West Don. If we can move to the next slide. Now in 2017, that contractual agreement, Chair, it's important to paint this context, between West Don, JCE Mining and Afrika Borwa was then later terminated with the effective date of the 31st of December 2017. Now this termination resulted in Afrika Borwa Mining intending to retrench the same employees linked to this contract as they had no other business to place the affected employees. Now the termination of the contract resulted in a legal dispute which was later settled in the Labour Court on the 7th of December 2017. Now, Chairperson, in order to protect the employees in terms of Section 197, which Mr. Chairperson spoke about earlier on, the court then issued an order that the affected employees should be transferred from Afrika Borwa Mining Solutions to the new service provider, Riagetsi Mining Services. If you can move to the next slide. Now, by virtue of that court order that I referred to, RMS then became the new employer and the beneficiary of the Section 197 settlement agreement. So Riagetsi had an existing corporate visa for the other mining services, which was issued on the 3rd of October 2016 for a validity period of 3 years to employ 500 mine workers. And then Royal Bafokeng then approaches Home Affairs with the request for authorization to use Riagetsi Mining Services corporate visa to absorb the soon-to-be disengaged workers that I referred to from Afrika Borwa Mining Solutions. And of course, we then responded by indicating that in order for Riagetsi Mining Services to absorb all these affected workers, they will have to apply for new or additional corporate visas. However, because there was a court order, Chair, to that effect, Riagetsi was then issued a corporate visa without a DOE certificate. So they are a beneficiary of the same system. If you can move to the same next slide. So in 2018, that just provides the timeline again. The existing corporate visa was then amended in terms of what we had indicated that the DG may withdraw or amended. This effectively allowed and authorized them to absorb the other employees. Riagetsi was then issued with an amended corporate visa to absorb the mine workers from Afrika Borwa to fulfill that court judgment that we referred to for a period of 3 years until the 9th July 2021 to retain those foreign workers. If we can move to the next slide. Now, it's also important to indicate that in 2019, Mr. Roger Baxter, who is Chief Executive of the Minerals Council, previously known as the Chamber of Mines, wrote to Minister Motsoaledi requesting that the minister grant the waiver of the DOEL certificate for employees. And it's important to state this fact again. Employers who are no longer hiring new foreigners, but only continuing with the current employees when they apply for new corporate visas. So that was then subsequently granted by the minister to the Minerals Council. This is an industry body that represents more than 70 members collectively. They produce 90% of our mineral value. So a waiver from submitting that DOEL certificate to employ the remaining 45,482 who have been employed in the mining industry since the last 10 to 30 years. So these are people that have been in that sector for a long time. So now coming to the issue at play. So Royal Bafokeng then wrote to Riagetsi Mining with a reminder that the term of the contract is coming to an end on the 30th of September 2020. That letter was then extended the contract with another 3 months to the 31st of December 2020, while also serving as a termination of the contract by the same date. If we can move to the next slide. So they then appointed, this is Royal Bafokeng, both Penyo Africa and Buleng as the new service provider to take the contract of Riagetsi. And then I come then to these issues that Mr. Chepe raised. the acting DG then Immigration Services, who's on the line with us and will be able to attest to this, Mr. Jackson McKay, then received a call from Mr. Zolani Mkiva, Honorable MP, in October 2020. He's indicated he can't recall the exact date, raising the issue and concerns that the department was about to issue corporate visas to two companies in Rustenburg without following the process. I'm not sure what was his brief on the matter. He then intimated to the acting DG that the Department of Labor was not consulted in the process. If we can move to the next slide. At that point, Chair, I must indicate that Mr. McKay had no knowledge of the matter and therefore referred Mr. Mkiva to Mr. Roly Marule, who's Chief Director Permits within IMS, who then requested Mr. Marule to contact Mr. Mkiva to resolve the matter. That was subsequently done. The rest is just the detail that Mr. Mkiva was not satisfied with the process. If we can move to the next slide. Again, it's just the conversation that the committee can read at their own time. If we can move to the next slide. Now, this slide then indicates that both service providers then signed that Section 197 agreement with Reagetswe. In the agreement, Chair, Reagetswe agreed to hand over its services and employees as a going concern to the new employers. The managing director of Reagetswe, Mr. David Gadisi, then signed that agreement on the 19th of November with both companies, represented by Mr. Rapu and Mr. Siabelo. Now, if you go to 2019, you'll note that both Penyo Mining Solutions and Buleng then introduced themselves to the department by through a letter requesting guidance on the corporate advice for the corporate visa application process. And then, of course, the department responded and provided the application process. If we can move to the next slide. So this is then the conversation between Mr. McKay and Mr. Marule. DDG McKay called Mr. Marule and informed him that Mr. Mkiva is still not satisfied that the corporate visa have been issued to the two companies. Again, I don't know what his brief is on the matter. Besides that, this concern was the procedure that was not followed. Mr. McKay then requested Mr. Marule to arrange a meeting with Mr. Mkiva to resolve this matter as it relates to an allegation that these visas were issued without following the correct procedure. Now, in preparation for this meeting, Mr. Marule checks with the team that handles the corporate accounts whether there were any applications. And at that point, there were no applications. This is in November, Chair. If we can move to the next slide. Now, he then meets, this is Mr. Marule, met with Mr. Mkiva on the 2nd of December to give feedback and confirm to him that there were no corporate visas, and neither were there such an application at that point. Now, fast forward to the 15th of December, both Penyo and the Buleng then submit this corporate visa applications at the Gauteng Investment Center. And we've got a number of them, not only in Gauteng, in the Western Cape through West Grove and KZN, and in the Eastern Cape. So this then facilitates in terms of applications. If we can move to the next slide. Now, earlier on, I spoke about this checklist. Now, you will note that because of the visa that I spoke about, where the applicant is supposed to submit a certificate by the Department of Labor confirming these activities, there's a waiver that I spoke about that had been granted. So in this case, it was not therefore applicable. We can move to the next slide. So this just gives you a timeline that it was not only Buleng and Penyo applications that were received. Between the 28th of January 2019 and 15th of December, there were about 11 of these applications that were received. And of course, they were adjudicated by the Central Adjudication Unit, and they were as follows. Three were received between 28th of January and the 19th, and only approved during August. And then further, there were three that were submitted between the 15th of Jan and Feb, and then approved during August. Then there were these five applications that were received between the 2nd of October and 15th of December. Now, this is October to December. Now, two of the applications in questions that were approved were for Buleng and Penyo, and then there's another application that was then approved on the 23rd, and then the other two are still pending. The next slide then details. If we can move to the next slide, you will note that on this slide, it's the sectors It's not just mining, there's farming, there's transport. And you'll note that the ones for Buleng and Penyo are right at the bottom. And there was another one that was approved for Two Rivers Platinum on the 23rd. If we can move to the next slide. So this is the timeline. We then issued the corporate visas to both these companies, Buleng and Penyo, on the 22nd of December 2020, not on Christmas Day, not on Boxing Day, as it was indicated. As to when the client goes and picks them up, it's really their choice. If we can move to the next slide. Now, on the issue of the Department of Labor not being consulted, I think there was already a slide that I explained that there's the waiver that was in place, and which is why we indicated that these companies were not necessarily having to apply to the Department of Labor. Mr. Marule then informed the applicants to contact VFS and make arrangements to collect these corporate visas. If you can move to the next slide. Now, in January, Chair, I'm almost moving towards the conclusion. In January, we then received this correspondence from the Portfolio Committee regarding the allegations that these permits were issued fraudulently to both Buleng and Penyo. And then the minister then tasked our own internal counter-corruption unit to then start an investigation into the alleged fraud as indicated. They stated that this investigation is ongoing. I'll come back to this. The minister then asked us asked me to set up a task team comprising Home Affairs, DMR, and Department of Employment and Labor to investigate these allegations. Indeed, that team was set up led by DDG McKay, from Home Affairs, DDG Murotoba, from Labor, and DDG Makubele from DMRE. They then started investigating the matter. And that team included technical experts and legal services from the three departments. From our side, it was Ms. Advocate Sibidi Mecha and then Prof. Singh from Labor. If we can move to the next slide. So these are the issues that this interdepartment team was able to bring forth to the DGs. One was that the corporate visa applications for both Buleng and Penyo had met all the requirements except the which I indicated earlier on, that is labor certificate, which was not a necessity, because I then say in the next bullet point that attached to both applications were the ministerial waiver for the deviation from the DOEL certificate, and then the submission of the waiver in lieu of the DOEL certificate renders the application to be complete, and therefore they met all the required supporting documents as per the checklist that I indicated earlier on. Now, at the time of issuing these corporate visas to the two companies, it should be noted, Chair, that the IAC had corporate visa which were still valid until July 2021. If we can move to the next slide. Now, as we indicated at the beginning, that we have an obligation to issue these visas as expeditiously as possible and on the basis of simplified processes. Home Affairs has then identified all work visas and business visas as a priority. I think this committee will agree in terms of what the President said in the State of the Nation address. If we are to ensure that there's economic recovery, we have to ensure that we attend to these issues. Now, I've already indicated that there were these 11 applications that we received during this process. This slide is just a repetition. If we can move to the next slide. Yeah, the team then made the following recommendations to the DGs on the 18th of January at our meeting, that when processing the corporate visas for both Buleng and Penyo, the Department of Course of Home Affairs had interpreted that the Immigration Act allows for the waiver to be granted when good cause exists in line with Section 31(2) of the Act. That's what was recommended. If we can move to the next slide. Now, further, that team then indicated that all applications for corporate work visas going forth will now follow an agreed process that was agreed by the task team, which includes submission of requests to both labor and ourselves. This will ensure that all these complaints, including by members of the public and future allegations, are responded to timeously. Of course, the DGs then noted that the corporate visas were only expiring in July 2021, and therefore, these were for the same workers that had to be transferred to the new companies. Further, the DGs noted that no new vacancies, Chair, were created, and therefore they agreed that the current visas should not be withdrawn because they are still legally valid and will be subject of litigation. To this extent, Chairperson, Department of Home Affairs has obtained legal opinion that indicates that this is a possibility if we withdraw these visas. If we can move to the next slide. Now, there are allegations that are made in the letter from the chair to the minister. Now, as a response to the allegations that the permits were issued on Christmas Day, I indicated that they were not issued on Christmas Day and Boxing Day. They were issued on the 22nd. However, the client is free to pick them up at any other time. If we can move to the next allegation, that the permits were issued fraudulently. Now, what is important here is that we then instituted an investigation by our own internal anti-corruption unit. Now, for now, they have not found any evidence of corruption. And this is in their preliminary findings. They are not done with the investigation. That investigation is still continuing. It's not closed at the moment. It's at an advanced stage. So at the moment, with regards to this allocation allegation, it's still open. It's something that will then come back. And once we do have that investigation report, it will be submitted to the DGs and, of course, to this committee as the committee requested. If we can move to the next slide. The committee also requested leave details for Mr. Mbele and Mr. R.P. Mudima. And the records from the department from Human Resources indicated that Mr. Mbele was only on leave on the 4th to the 6th of December. And thereafter, he was on duty throughout until the 31st of December. So it's incorrect to say he was called back from leave. His main leave only started on the 4th of January until 15th of January. And therefore, Mr. Mbele was not on leave on any other day except the ones that I've listed. But further, he was not required by his supervisors to work on any public holiday. Mr. McKay is his supervisor. He will be able to respond to some of these issues. Similarly, his director, Mr. Mudima, was not on leave and also not required to work during any public holiday. If we can move to the next slide. So what are therefore the recommendations from ourselves together with Labour and the DMRE? We're recommending that you take note of the presentation on the process as you requested in your letter on how these corporate permits were issued, but also the report from the Director General's task team that was compiled and handed over. I think it's also important that this committee knows the SADC protocol on employment and labor without a bias to foreigners. We all are tuned into the fact that there's a need to employ more locals. And lastly, it's for the committee to note the letter from the CEO of the Mineral Council of South Africa, Mr. Roger Baxter. I'll then hand over to DG Lamati, if there's anything that I've left out. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair DG, for the presentation. We'll run because of our scheduled time. We're going to allow members to interact with the report. And after that, we're going to invite yourself, the DGs, both the DM and the ministerial. If there's clarity in terms of your land function, you will work on delegation to source more clarity. Members are going to interact with the report brief of Mr. Sepe and the Director General's report. It's how we're going to try to navigate our time. Can I check something, Mr. DG McCord? There's a name that is coming many a times on the permit there. Is Mr. Mahobe or Mr. DG, is Mr. Mahobe or Mr. Ma? It's a name that is coming often in the report.
on the payments.
Are you referring to Mr. Mbele, Chair?
No, Mr. Marule. Is Mr. Marule in the meeting?
Chair, Mr. Marule is not at the meeting. He's currently on a suspension for a matter that's not related to this matter.
Okay, Mr. Mbele is in the meeting.
I can't see all of the people that are at the meeting. Mr. Mbele, DDG McKay, do you see Mr. Mbele? We're all sitting in different areas. Okay. Are you able to see Mr. Mbele?
No, thank you. You'll just indicate as you respond. Members, this is a report.
I'm sorry, Chair. Mr. Mbele is sitting with me in the meeting. Yes, Chairperson.
Thank you. Okay. Members, how we're going to run, we'll invite all members of the committee who are present here. We'll start with the Honorable Mqini. We'll come to Honorable Mudise. We'll come to Honorable Ruos. We'll come to Honorable Mulekwa. We'll come to Honorable Kanyile. We'll come to Honorable Lizelle. We'll come to Honorable Pile. We'll come to Honorable Bongo, if he is connected. He has a problem with the that three members who have problem with connection is Honorable Lekhwase and Honorable Bongo and Honorable Mulekwa. I think if they cut off, it's not deliberate, it's as a result of the challenges that they're facing. I'll move Honorable Mkwene.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson, and also for this opportunity that I'm given by the committee. And greetings to everyone that is actually here. And hopefully that these kind of meetings and of interrogations will have them every time when we are having alleged reports of corruption in the Department of Actual Home Affairs. Now, I want to start that, let me, I've read the report that was issued by the report that was issued. Now, first, if you look at the report, this report, there's no one who's taking any accountability of it. Number one, the report does not a name who compiled the report. Secondly, there's no signatory in this report, because remember, if it comes to a committee, it's a legal report, because, I mean, it's actually under. So who has compiled this report so that that person can be taken into account? So before I can even go deeper into that, you see, I said last time to the department that never think that we don't read this report in detail and look in terms of the logic behind the report. And we must try to avoid to be very political. It pains me, and it's actually heartbroken. It's actually heartbreaking to see that where things are supposed to be implemented, you can just read the report and find that it's full of politics. Because remember, we are political, and we understand when a certain narrative has been put so that there's sort of a political outcome that actually comes in. Because we've asked very simple questions, because this report, instead of being a page 10, it could have been only page 2 or 3 to really explain the process. How did you get to issue those permits? This actually, members can go. We're probably going to be looking to the alleged issuing of the IDs which we are getting from everywhere in the whole country. So if we're not going to be thorough and technical and logical about how we approach these things, and we use feelings, we don't go according to the Act. Minister once says that we don't understand, the Act, So I'm also maybe seeing that as well here, that maybe we sort of being slightly undermined. Of course, the report captures the fact that the fraudulent issuing of these permits, and they were issued expedias. I want to put it out there that in my organization, we have no problem of our brothers in Africa being employed in South Africa because of their economic, you know, conditions. We have no problem of that. We welcome it with great arms. We know that because there's a problem in Zimbabwe, economy is down. So yes, you'll have a situation then that our brothers will be coming here to actually work. We're not about that. Let us not be divided in terms of saying that, no, this one, these employees and all of that. And also, we don't want black business. You know, we don't have anything against the company Abo Boroka and also PNU, these other, and RMS. These are black brothers which can do business and all of that. We have no problem that we're not targeting any company that it must not get to be a service provider and all of that. No, we're not about that. Don't create a narrative that we must fight with the other ones and then leave the other one. Don't make us fight. Don't create a genocide of black people trying to get opportunity. We're not about that. We welcome them. They must get opportunities to be able to work. But we are dealing with fraudulent activities. And the department supposed to direct us that it was this process fraudulent or not. Now, we know what's the difference between law and protocol. Don't throw words. Words must not be thrown as if we don't know anything. Maybe we're going to be scared when someone says protocol, and then we're going to be shaking. We know what is a protocol. It is how things are being done, in what order, and instruction, and all of that. And law is the statute of the legal. It's a legal status usually acted by the government, which is the law of the country, which is punishable. And it must not just be flouted. You cannot just do that and flout it. It cannot be. Now, in the report, you've quoted the section 31 that you've used the wave. We're saying that is this permit issued fraudulently now, yes or no? So you should be asking that. Why are you saying that they're fine? And leave the other, you know, braces and confusions that, you know, because you get lost into the presentation because there's a lot of numbers, a lot of names that have been thrown in. Let's look, go deeper. Now let's look, you did not even quote those sections. What do the sections say? Let's discuss them as lawmakers. You did not put them here onto the presentation. Why? Because of the content, what they say. And why would you do that? You know, I've checked out the other one there. I think maybe when you're responding, put up a DG, put up those sections and read them and ask yourself, did you issue those according to that act now, yes or no? Don't say the waiver is there. We did not even see the waiver. Where is the documentation guy, which says that this happened? The documentation, not feelings. We want a proof. You said section 31.2, section 21.2c. Where are they? You did not put them on the presentation. We are lawmakers. We don't go according to the feelings. Read to us, but you are lawmakers. According to the law that you passed in parliament, section 21 says A, B, C, and D, 2, 3, and 4. Hence, this is what happened in this time. This is what happens 1, 2, 3, and 4. Let us discuss that. Whether whoever is supposed to get, it's neither here or there, but the question is, did you follow the law that was put by the law that was actually put by the parliament? Because we cannot use stealing.
I'm working towards cutting you.
Okay, the thing is, and then so we need to be looking into actually that. And then at the end, you're saying that the Department of Labor, there must be a labor certificate. It says that there must be a labor certificate that is actually been issued by the Department of Labor. Why is that? Why is not actually there? And then you said that there is a legal opinion by the Department of Home Affairs. We did not put it in. What does it say? We want to see it in detail. It says that 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then also lastly, Chairperson, the are the circumstances of issuing these permits
Yes, got the final legal opinion. Did you see it?
Sorry, Minister Mutualeni.
JCI, the period, lastly, Chair, looking at the period between the handover between JCI and RMS, and then RMS handing over to these two new companies, looking at the circumstances the same, can you analyze that? Go deeper in terms of this RFM got these permits because of the circumstances.
Okay,
now, but the RMS had an they said that they had an extended contract. Question is, was that did you have to issue them at haste, knowing that you've extended a contract up until March, and then claiming also that RMS has these permits up until 2020, July 2021. Was it actually haste enough? Did you really have to actually do that? Now, what was so special about that arrangement?
Thank you, Honorable Mdise.
Thank you so much, Chair. I also have a network problem. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you're audible. Proceed.
Thank you. First, Chair, I want to seek clarity on the process, or firstly on the percentage of foreign nationals that a corporate must be able to employ or get permits for employment. I did not come out clearly from the presentation, so I need a clarity on that. And there was a number of 5,000. Employees that was mentioned here. I want to understand what is the total number of the employment of the employees in those two corporate companies, and of the total number, what is the total number of foreign nationals that are currently employed in those two companies? Secondly, Chair, what is not coming clear here? It is the process of a new company that is taking over the contract and taking over with the employees from the previous company that was currently employed them. Now, I want to understand what is the process of taking the employees with those permits, whether expired or whether still in existence, and taking them over with the new company. It is not also coming out clear on these presentations. Chairperson, let me remind the meeting that in the last meeting that we had of the Home Affairs, we would have taken a resolution that these permits must be withdrawn due to the issues that would have then arisen. It is surprising that has not happened and we find ourselves here, and would have made it clear that let us have a thorough investigation, and when the report has been provided, we will then take a decision thereof. But we are here today, those permits have been provided, that did not happen. So it means the department decided to go ahead even outside of the decision that the committee would have taken. It is also safe to note that currently there are two processes that are taking place. It is the investigation that is ongoing from the Counter Corruption Unit, and the investigation by the team, the interdepartmental team that was put together by the DGs of both of these departments. It is unfortunate that with those processes, they are not complete. We are here and we are being given a preliminary report or preliminary findings. They are not concluded. And I feel that as a committee, we are not in any position to can then take a decision based on these reports that are incomplete. Now, I want to suggest, Chair, that we need a separate or an independent investigation that will deal with this. I feel that here we are dealing with a referee and a player. Here are the departments going and investigating themselves, and they are coming here giving us a preliminary report, which also still raises a lot of questions. So I want to suggest that let us then bring in SCOPA. Let us refer these investigations to SCOPA as an independent investigation unit that will then assist in investigating thoroughly these issues, so that at least we can then be finalized and have a proper report that is complete and that will provide us with a proper way forward. So that is my suggestion, Chairperson, that we can only note this report. There is nothing else that we can do about them. We cannot even take a decision based on these reports that we are being given today. They are both not completed, and I suggest that we need to take these issues for a further and thorough investigation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mutise. Honourable Ross.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to just get some clarity on some of the broader issues that are coming out here. I understand that in the past, when mining was booming, that we had these multinational arrangements. And now I see that we're being referred to an arrangement in 2014, which seems to be something similar. And my real concern here is that, you know, that has changed, that environment has changed. I think we've seen the figures of the mining going down. And I'm struggling to understand here. It seems like the Department of Labor is issuing certificates to say that there's no South African labor capacity to fill mining vacancies. And then it seems at the same time that we see a critical skills list, which has just come out for comment, and this mining is not on there. So I'd just like to understand from the department, sir, how do you explain this juncture? If labor is saying that the capacity doesn't exist and therefore we're making these recommendations, and then Home Affairs on their critical skills list is then saying, well, actually this mining is not a critical skill. So it's got to be one or the other. And really, in this process of issuing these certificates and these approvals, we need to be clear on what basis we're doing that. Is it a critical skill? Isn't it a critical skill? Is the capacity available or isn't it available? And we need to have that the left arm speaking to the right arm. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Ross. Honorable Mulekwa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also acknowledge the presentation made by the department and the to the Popular Committee. So according to the presentations that were presented, Chairperson, I think there are so many allegations that presented against the department. And if you look into the presentation made by the department, the response on the allegations were not very clear on how to deal with the allegation levels against the department by the first presentation. And also in the presentation, like Honorable Mudisa has already indicated, there is an ongoing investigation where the report is not being presented to the Popular Committee, which makes the report to be incomplete. Therefore, Chairperson, I want to agree with Honorable Mudisa that we can't conclude on this presentation until the detailed report is being presented to the Portfolio Committee on all issues of corruption and all those allegations, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kanyile.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to everyone in the meeting. We appreciate the presentation that we have been given by Mr. Petsy. I hope I'm spelling, pronouncing his surname correct. And he has cited a number of allegations, very serious allegations in that report. Before I ask my questions, I just want to bring to the attention of the Portfolio Committee that in the first meeting that we had, we took a resolution that all these visas that are in question, they must be withdrawn. and we were all in agreement together with the minister. Minister Mutsvaledi was also in that meeting. And then what transpired, I think it was after he received the communication from the portfolio that he sent us a communication advising us that he did not withdraw those permits because he will face legal action and all of that, which I feel is the decision that he later took outside of this meeting when the committee had already made a pronouncement or took a resolution that those work visas, they need foreign work visas, they need to be withdrawn. With that being said, I'd like to find out from the committee chair that if the minister, we took a resolution and he does not comply with it, and two more meetings later, we still find out that those permits have not been withdrawn, what's the necessary action that needs to be taken against the minister? Do we maybe need to refer the minister to the Rules and Ethics Committee, or what needs to be done? Because even the report that is in front of us is a number of things about SMSs that were sent to some officials in the department. But those SMSs are not included in the report that we are receiving from the Department of Home Affairs. So it is an indication that there is some information that is left out. And also, we still do not understand why did the minister decide to waiver these particular visas. We have not been answered up until now. We have been told about Section 31(1)(b), if I'm quoting, 31(2)(c), but we are not told what was the reason, what was the motivation, was there a request that was made? Because I also remember in the previous letter that was sent to us by the minister, he told us that he waived these particular visas because he did that again in 2019. But you also understand that in 2019, there was a letter that was sent by a labor council in requesting the department to actually waiver those visas. Lastly, Chairperson, another thing that I would like to raise, it is the fact that if we allow the people that are employed in this mine to carry on working, it will mean we are disadvantaging lots and lots of people who are unemployed in our country, because a proper procedure was not followed. We recommend that a proper procedure needs to be followed. If these positions need to be advertised, let them go out there, be advertised, so that everyone can be able to be offered an opportunity to participate. So it needs to be done in a fair manner. With that being said, Chairperson, once again, for the last time, I propose that these visas be withdrawn. And I think we also need to give the time frame. Maybe they must be withdrawn by today, Tuesday, maybe by Thursday. If that is not done by Thursday, the committee must take a decision of what is going to be done to the minister, because we can't have a minister ignoring the resolutions that are taken in the meeting. That is totally unacceptable. It means the minister is undermining us. The minister is undermining this very same committee, and we cannot accept it. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Lekwasa. Honorable Lekwasa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and I'm sorry I've been in and out of the meeting. Chairperson, I'm not going to repeat anything that has been said by my fellow colleagues, but I fully agree that maybe we need a central opinion. Maybe the issue must be referred to SCOPA, because we took a position as a portfolio committee. It was a collective position that was taken by all of us. It was not even partisan. Where I'm sitting, I failed to understand what went wrong. Why was the resolution of the portfolio committee not taken up and be implemented? We are forever sitting in portfolio committee and saying that we want to root maladministration, corruption, and fraudulent activities in the department. But one would sit in a portfolio committee and honestly be disappointed to hear that as much as we are trying to rectify things and to allow things to done accordingly, you'd find such activities happening. Where I'm sitting, I don't even know the reason and how exactly were this permit given out. So, Chairperson, this cannot happen. We took a decision. A decision was not taken. Let there be further investigation so that maybe we might get a reason why was the decision of the portfolio committee not taken up or implemented. For now, there's much that I cannot that I can say, Chair. Previous speakers before me said a lot. And I concur with what Honorable Mudisa has already mentioned. Can we please refer this to SCOPA?
Thank you, Honorable Lokwase. Honorable Lize.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Co-Chair.
I've also got connection problems, but I'm hoping you can hear me. I would like to thank our whistleblower or our complainant Chairperson for coming forward. I think it was very brave of him. I would like to concur also with my colleagues in what they've raised earlier about referring the matter to SCOPA. However, I would have a slightly different view on that to say that I think it's time for us as a portfolio committee to, in terms of NA Rule 167A and Sections 55(2) and 57(1)(b) of the Constitution, to request that we institute a full parliamentary hearing similar to the ones that we had on ESCOM and the SABC into the affairs of the Department of Home Affairs, and in particular with regards to the Immigration Services Inspectorate and corruption within the department. I think we all would have seen the criticism from Judge Zondo about our oversight role as members of parliament and holding the executive to account. And I think as a multi-party committee, we've all agreed that there seems to be a lot of problems at the Department of Home Affairs that needs further scrutiny. So whether it's that we go the SCOPA route, I would not recommend that, because SCOPA is really busy and seized with a lot of issues such as COVID-19 procurement and other issues. But I think we need a full parliamentary hearing possibly in the next term. That being said, I agree with all the sentiments that our complainant has raised. I think it's absolutely a travesty that when more than 30% of South Africans are sitting at home, jobless, desperate, that we've got two departments in the form of the Department of Labor and Home Affairs who have basically regulated South Africans to SASAQs while they've created a fertile ground for foreign nationals to be employed in low-skill or no-skill job sectors. And as much as I hear what the DG is saying, that there's no new job opportunities being created in the mining sector, if you say that there's currently 456,000 people employed in the mining sector, of which 45,000 are foreign nationals, it means 10% of the mining sector is still currently employing people in those low-skill and no-skill job opportunities. In our communities where people are able to do jobs, they should be given an opportunity to do those jobs. They should not be expected to rely on SASSA grants alone. So firstly, I would say that that is an issue. I know the mining industry is not alone, because I know in other sectors, such as our restaurant sector, our security sector, our hospitality industry, our e-hailing, our trucking industry, there are in fact industries that employ many more foreign nationals. So the mining industry in fact is not the only culprit. And so I would like to ask a question. I'm going to make some general observations, I think, but I would like to ask, because we won't have an opportunity again to interact with the Department of Labor, but I want to ask the DG of Labor, in May 2020, he announced that government is planning to restrict the number of foreign nationals working in certain sectors of the economy by introducing sectoral targets for the employment of foreign nationals in some of these sectors. But it's now almost a year later, and there's been no movement in this regard. So I would like to know from the DG of Labor, why have they not finalized these sectoral targets? And when will they be finalized, and time frames in this regard? And also, which sectors are they planning to regulate, and will this include mining? I also would like to ask that there's a slide, and the Honorable Ruiz did speak to it. There's a slide in which they indicate to us some of the corporate visas that are pending, outstanding, or finalized. And again, there is the sectors in question are farming, transport, and mining. Yet, when you look at the critical skills list, those sectors are not on the critical skills list. So again, I would like to understand whether these sectors require foreign nationals with special skills, and if so, why is it not on that critical skills list? There's a lot of emphasis on the expeditious nature in which the Department of Home Affairs operates and issues corporate visas. But again, if you go back to that slide 35, in some instances, some of these companies have been waiting 7, 8, or 9 months for their corporate visas to be issued, which I think then is a contradiction to this expeditious nature. Finally, or I'll be wrapping up soon, but there's a mention that the Counter-Corruption Unit of the Department of Home Affairs is investigating this matter. I find that interesting, because if the department is saying everything is above board, then surely there's no need for an investigation. But that being said, I think we need time frames as to when this investigation will be concluded, because it can't be open-ended. Going forward, I think we also need a full report on the work of the anti-corruption unit. I would like to know, what is it exactly that they are doing? How many people are in this unit? What is it that they're doing, for example, about the syndicates that operate within the Department of Home Affairs, those that are selling documents and visas? What is it that they're doing with regards to corrupt officials that are operating at our borders? I heard this weekend on Carte Blanche and also on some interviews on ENTA that the minister is very frank about the problem of corruption within his department and syndicates operating at the borders and elsewhere. Yet, in one of my written questions, the department told me that only 24 people have been caught for corruption so far in the last financial year, I think. So it's really a disjuncture between what is this anti-corruption unit really doing versus the outcomes. Finally, I would also like to know, as the Honourable Kanyile raised, we need to know, the presentation states that there's no legal requirement that the waiver deviating from the Department of Employment and Labour certificate had to be gazetted. However, of course, the rationality of the minister at the minimum can always be challenged. It is therefore critical to know what aspects did the minister take into account in order to allow for this waiver, to ensure, so we need to really be provided with all the facts that the minister took into account to approve this waiver. And earlier the minister also mentioned about a final legal opinion on this matter. So if we can also be furnished with that. So finally, Chairperson, then just to say that I support all our colleagues that we need to take this matter further. I think my political party and my personal view is, where there's a low-skilled job opportunity or a no-skilled job opportunity in a country that's got such high youth unemployment and employment in general, South Africans should be favoured for those opportunities while not discriminating against our foreign nationals. But it cannot be a situation that our own people have been relegated in their own communities to stand by and watch while other people are getting job opportunities. That can never be allowed. And therefore, I agree with you, Chairperson, and our colleagues, that these visas should be suspended for now until the investigation is completed, that we also launch our own parliamentary hearing into the affairs of this department. And those are my submissions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Co-Chair. Honorable Bongo, I'm not sure if you are back, or Honorable Bongo.
No, thank you very much, Chair of the day. I'm struggling with connection, but I've managed to hear what all members are saying, and I would like to congratulate them for speaking in one voice about this matter. Because we have taken a decision, and once we have taken a decision, if it's not implemented, it borders around undermining the committee. You see? And we'll have to also elevate this matter to the Speaker of Parliament. So what happens when we take decisions and these decisions are not implemented, they're sugar-coated, and we're given presentations that to confuse us as if we're those old members of parliament that did not understand the law, according to the minister. We understand the law, and some of us have studied the law. So we're legislating, having studied the law, and we read the law. So there's no doubt in our minds about our decisions. And upon that, the of the content. And in our next meeting, I've requested Ed to track down all the decisions so that we can go tick all the boxes about all the decisions and whether the department is prepared to listen to the decisions and to listen to the committee's recommendations on how we are doing the oversight and how department must be assisted. So that on Thursday we'll be dealing with ticking all the boxes from when we start. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, members, for objectively dealing with the reports. I think it's in the spirit of consolidating our work of oversight and also complementing and to assist the department to fully carry their function.
I'm going to invite the DGs, both the Labour and Home Affairs. Immediately they finish, we'll invite the DM. If there's input to be made, both the DMs, if they're there, I've noted DM Mshazi, and invite the ministerial. I'll use my prerogative to which one is going to finish, anyone to be the last. DG Makode, let me start with DG Labour. Director General Labour and Employment.
Thank you, Chairperson. There were just a few questions that were directed at the Department of Employment and Labour. One of those questions, Chair, relates to the whether in May 2020 we issued a statement that says that the we will set sectoral targets in a way regulating the employment of foreign nationals in certain sectors. That's it indeed, Chair, correct. We are well on our way to submit a memorandum to Cabinet, which will be advising Cabinet on the legal provisions that we propose to be effected in the Public Employment Services Act to allow the minister to do that and set those targets. So in the next, I think in the next cabinet, we will submit that report, that memorandum. Our legal people have worked on it already. It is ready for that. So there are two things that we're doing. We're in the process of also developing the national employment policy. And secondly, the labor migration policy as well. So there are two things that we are doing. And in those two things, we think that we will be in a much more better position to regulate the employment of foreign nationals. Currently, we don't have any limitations to how many foreigners can be employed, except one in one situation where if you have an investor coming into the country, the Immigration Act makes provision for 60-40 split. And the rationale for that is that you can bring in those people, help you to set up your systems, your plant, and everything. And that's why 40% are allowed to come in, and the majority of people who are working for you must be 60%, only when you bring in foreign investment into the country. Now, the proviso there is that there will be transfer of skills to South Africans. And that is why when your time has expired, the corporate visa that you were issued expires. If the company intends to keep you in the country, they must then apply afresh so that your application can be considered. So I thought, let me explain that because there's the in some quarters there's confusion that the 60-40 applies across. That you can even in instances where there's no there's no investment by foreign and national, the 60-40 is used as a quota that exists, and that should not be the case. So the sectors that are requiring foreign visas, in the report that we submitted to the committee for information purposes, we indicated that there are some of the work that we are doing where some visas, the processing is still outstanding. Now, the information we provided is intended to give a picture of a type of applications that we received. We receive applications even for the work that does not require, expert skills. We receive application for work that does not even fall in the category of skills that are listed in the scarce and critical skills list. And we are bound by law to adjudicate them. And given what the fact that they are not part of the critical skills list, obviously we do not approve them because we do not recommend them because we must make recommendations to Home Affairs. We don't recommend them because they are not part of our of the critical skills list. One of the issues that we were raising in the report with regard to the SADC protocols is that the dilemma that we're sitting with is that much as we would like to regulate what is happening in the mining sector, and in fact, in every sector, in fact, by the way, that employs foreign nationals, you have international protocols that South Africa, is a signatory of, and is bound by those protocols. And key amongst those is the one that we mentioned, and also the bilateral agreements that were signed long time ago. That continue to constrain us because they need to be respected, they need to be honored. Up until those bilaterals are done away with, we will continue to have some of the challenges that we have with regards to the employment of foreign foreign nationals. And these bilaterals, they date back as far as 1964 going forward. But we are working with other government departments as a Department of Employment and Labor to make sure that we deal with the situation. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, DG. DG Makode, Home Affairs.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you to the members for the detailed questions. I think we note all of them. If through you, Chair, I think the Minister did refer to the legal opinion, and Honorable Zwini wanted to know what's in that legal opinion. I think similarly, I think there was a request as well. I can't recall who's the other member. So if you allow me, I will then request our acting head legal advocate, Sibili Major, to speak to that matter, and then as well as Honorable Chair, if I can ask TTJ McKay to deal with process issues which we clarified in the presentation on the process. I think DG Lamati has spoken about the percentages. If I can just be allowed to call them to do that, starting with our acting head legal advocate, Sibili Major. And then we'll hand over to the Deputy Minister and the Minister.
Thank you, DG. As per your request, DG.
Advocate, are you online? Advocate Sibili Major? He was earlier on. Let's take DDJ McKay while I check what's happening with him. DDJ McKay?
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. With regard to the process, there is not much that I can add to it, except to reiterate what was on our presentation. I think we were trying to draw a timeline there as well in terms of when all of this happened, how it happened, and in our view,
that we followed the correct process. The issue around the acts that we are quoting in the document, Honorable Chairperson. In fact, we do quote the Act and what the Act says, but we would be able to make available, I think, in future investigations on the same matter, all other information that is required, like the supporting documents that some of the members referred to, as well as some of the application for the waiver that was received from the Mining Council. I mean, all of those supporting documents are there, Chairperson, if it needs to be perused by the portfolio committee and anybody else that's going to investigate the matter. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Chairperson, I think Advocate Sbidimecha was struggling to unmute his online. If you can respond, Advocate.
DG, we're on your hands.
We're calling Advocate Sbidimecha to unmute. Advocate?
Advocate, you'll come later. Can you move to... I'm advised because we're working on advice from the administration that the Office of the Minister of Employment and Labour, they have locked on using his gadget. So it was not the minister who's in the meeting. I think it was his office. We apologize for that, Minister Motsoaledi. I was alerted by the administration of the committee. Thank you. Can we move to DM? We'll come back to the legal, if it's not back now. DG, are you comfortable?
It's fine. I'm trying to connect him.
Okay. DM? Mshaz?
No, thanks, Chair. Just 2 points that I would want to make so that there is no confusion on the commitment of Home Affairs and some of these issues. We remain committed, Chair, on the issue of making sure that we really prioritize South Africans and make sure that we pursue the interest of South Africans, especially in coming to the issues of critical skills, as you will have noticed, that it was one of the major issues that we were working with over the past few days. So our commitment there really remains, and our upholding the rule of law also remains, that whatever we do will be within the ambit of the law. And just lastly, there's no one, Chair, who is intending on hiding any form of corruption or any form of wrongdoing from the side of the department. And I think that once we have concluded, because you will have heard DG was very clear that from what we know right now, there have not been any signs of wrongdoing. But if we find any form of wrongdoing, we'll then be in a position to alert the committee, because we are not in the business or doing work of hiding any form of corruption. So we remain committed to making sure that we uproot corruption. I thought I must just reflect on those things. Thanks.
Thank you, Mshazi. DM, Minister Mtswaledi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I will respond to a few questions and of course come up with my own proposals on the way forward. Chairperson, I want to put it up front that I did not refuse or disregard the advice from the committee or defy the committee on the issue of the withdrawal of these visas. I don't know whether members of the committee might have all forgotten. I did ask that I'm requesting a hearing by this portfolio committee so that you hear all sides, because at the time when you make this decision that they must be withdrawn, it was just through letters and documents that were reaching to various members of parliament about what has happened. I wanted you to have a hearing to hear all sides of the story. Because, Chairperson, I believe in the rule of law. And as from where we are sitting as Home Affairs, and if you see at the report of the DGs, we were under the impression that there are certain legalities that do not allow us to from doing certain things. That is why, Chairperson, on this issue of employing foreign nationals versus South Africans, you might remember that in the last but one State of the Nation address, this issue was raised sharply in the debate of SONA. And President Ramaphosa set up a committee co-chaired by myself and the Minister of Labor to look into this issue. He did that precisely because he knows there are laws and regulations and constitutions of the country that might impede us in what we want to do in giving preference to South Africans. So I want to repeat to this committee, in that meeting, I am one of the people together with Minister Ngesi who is pushing our officials to put up areas of legislation that need to be amended to give advantage to South Africans. That's what we're doing. One of the issues that we pushed them was when we discovered disappointingly, the question here asked by, which member of parliament about the quotas. Yes, I think it's Honorable Mudise, about quotas. There are no quotas, Chairperson, and I was shocked to discover that. There are no quotas as to how many foreign nationals can be hired in any sector. That's why you go to a restaurant and find 100% foreign nationals. And the owner is within the law. There's no law under which you can charge him, even if you push him. So as Mr. Lamati has said, we asked them to expedite the issue of quotas. They called labor experts. They called experts in the field. They looked into international permutations, et cetera. They are still working on that. So on the issue of hiring South Africans, there's no debate about that. Now, on the issue of the Mining Council, they promised us, Chairperson, and that will answer Honorable Ross's question, that they are not hiring any new foreign nationals. That they put in writing when they were applying for this waiver. They were saying they are applying for it on the basis that they are covering only those who are there. They will never hire any other foreign national when a vacancy exists. So there's no point in putting it on the critical skills visa because on the issue of mining, because they've already declared long ago that they will never hire any foreign nationals. That is why, if you look over the past 19 years, they shed 60,000 jobs of foreign nationals. It doesn't mean those jobs were not replaced. They were replaced by South Africans, and that is the promise they've given. And they were saying there, because it's only because we are no longer hiring new foreign nationals, there's no point in repeating the certificate again and again, and we're asking for a visa. And if the committee feels it's legally wrong, we will actually look into that. Now, Chairperson, there was also a question about why are we investigating if we believe there was no corruption. Chairperson, we understand corruption to be meaning using your power given to you by legislation or your position to favor somebody whereby you will be rewarded either financially or otherwise. You will get some benefits after favoring somebody. That we don't have proof of, and that's why the anti-corruption unit is investigating. The anti-corruption unit investigates every allegation of corruption. Whether it's true or not, we don't undermine them. We put them to the anti-corruption unit. That's why their hands are full, Chairperson. And that's why they are still investigating this. Could there have been an exchange of money between one of our officials in regard to these visas? What we're describing here to you was the process, which we believe did not prove any fraud. But if any of officials received any money, we are very happy about that. Chairperson, there was an issue of reference to SCOPA. And I'm not sure what is the final decision of the committee about SCOPA, but we will be very happy if the matter is referred to SCOPA, or even if the speaker is told, because we were not trying to defy the committee. We had good reasons about legality and the sentiments of the committee, which want to be balanced. Now, Honorable Lizelle van der Merwe said She's asking for a full parliamentary hearing into permits. We welcome that, Chairperson, but we also want to request the committee to allow us 10 days or 2 weeks ago, when the public protector report came about naturalization, I made a statement publicly that I've already made a decision. And this decision was arrived at last year, that all the permits that were issued since the Immigration Act, the permits, permanent permits, corporate visas, et cetera, be reviewed, because we have got a good reason to believe why they must be reviewed. It will include this very same one. To this extent, I've already appointed such a committee. I was about to announce it publicly. We're coming with a concept document and terms of reference, members of that committee, because I want them to sit down on a full-time basis to review all the permits. We've got reasons which I will outline when I make this committee known publicly, why we arrived at that conclusion that all permits in Home Affairs following in about five categories must be reviewed since the enactment of the Immigration Act 2002 came into being. And I will explain exactly why we arrived at that conclusion. I have even reported that to the JCPS cluster when it met on Friday, where all the ministers in the JCPS cluster are there. I've already informed them that I'm going to institute such a committee. They gave support. I then conducted the president of the country to tell him that we are going to make an announcement about reviewing permits in the country, and I gave him reasons. And of course, he said, no, I must go ahead, they will hear what we announced. So if Parliament wants to do its own process of hearing, we will also welcome that, but we'll let that team, because they are going to take each and every permit and review it in view of the manner in which it was given, because we also have got problems with what we've discovered when the anti-corruption unit has reported. And I've not yet brought that in front of the committee about how the anti-corruption unit arrived at that. I'll very easily do that. So what I'm pleading is that if you take a decision for that full parliamentary hearing, also allow the committee, so that perhaps you can, the investigative team, because the investigative team will be full-time and going at length, maybe they can share with Parliament their findings, and Parliament do public hearings on the basis of that. Now, Chairperson, that is what I'll say, and I'll conclude, Chairperson. Today, the committee has had, as I've requested, and the committee still insists that these permits will be withdrawn. So it is on the advice of the committee. We, on our side, we're saying on the advice of legal advice, we are not doing so, but the committees insist. So it is Parliament that is taking that decision, and so we shall oblige. We won't challenge you. I've never actually challenged this committee, as members want to believe, that every time they give an instruction. But I was saying both Parliament and the departments are bound by the rule of law. And if I thought we're on the wrong side of the rule of law, that's why I said, let me give you a chance. Today you have heard, documents have been presented to you, and this committee of Parliament is still insisting that those documents be withdrawn. We shall so do as an instruction from Parliament. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister, and the team of Home Affairs and Labour, and Mr. Pepe. I think it must be emphasized as the first point that we appreciate the work that has been done by the Director General's report, awaiting the final completion of the investigation report from the Counter Corruption Unit. We must also appreciate that, and I think we must coerce in the spirit that we are not, Parliament is not against the activities of the, or against our African brothers and sisters. We are not in opposing the participation of the African brothers and sisters in our economic space. And I think that this must be elevated so that there must not be misinterpretation of barring our African brothers and sisters, because our course of action and activity lies in our constitution and the rule of law, affirmed by the protocols we have signed in the SADC and the AU. So those must also guide our interaction at all material times. Members reaffirm their decision to suspend the payments. And I think all those that have interacted with both the reports give that indication. And the department has a strong view in terms of the report that they've done all what it's supposed to have been done in terms of the laws that guide the process to that extent. And I think we'll note that that report. Members also agree that we must refer to matter to SCOPA. And I think to ascertain the issues that are emerging on the report, both of the departments and also the complainants. And that will carry it, Mr. Matonsi and the chair of the committee must immediately carry that point. We must sought to invite the legal service of parliament, the AG and the chairperson, in our next meeting, which is going to be on Friday. We must sought to invite the legal opinion of parliament. And as you read the reports and the indication lies on the legality of the process and the interpretation of our their decision as the executive or the department on the issues. So on Friday, we must invite the legal opinion of parliament to give effect to the issues that our committee are raising and also the department. There's a name that is being raised there a number of times, and I thought it is important to get an audience for that name, Mr. Marule. He seemed to be a player there, a serious player. I don't know. No, I'm not sure. Yes, Mr. Marule. I thought, Mr. Marule.
Yes.
He seemed to be the critical player there in terms of conversation, because we must thoroughly deal with the issues and not deal on them on the preface, so that as members of parliament, we coherently conduct our oversight to the end, so that all the issues that were raised and members are raising, and it's good that these matters came to the community. This is our part of the oversight, that any member of the community who has a problem must be able to raise it with the members of parliament and interact with the department. AD, you must, and the chair, you must, because it appears that this Mr. Marule also has been suspended, you must sort from the legal opinion of parliament whether it would be advisable to invite him to pending his status of suspension. But we must take that decision that we must invite him to give effect to the issues that are raised around his interaction with this permit. The investigation report, as you know, that this report you are presenting, Director General, is a preliminary report that gives effect to the issues that you have engaged on. And the investigation report is still ongoing. We must get this investigation report, we must give effect to its completion with the time frame that we are allocating by end of February. We must receive this concluding, or the 15th of March, let him give that certain date, this investigation report to be concluded. I'm not sure that today is the 20th. Yeah. We must give that that report. Because we don't want to deal with issues that are not clear in the committee. interact with issues that are not completed. And that will create a space for members of the committee to identify weaknesses in line with the issues that we're dealing with. A member of the public of society, of the public or ordinary person may appreciate that a complete report in terms of issues that are raised is presented, interrogated, so that we don't deal with a concluded preliminary report. We have said, Minister and the team, that beyond this report, we need to scan in all some of the mines that this permit has been issued. What if this some of the issues are recurring in some of these areas of the mining issuing of permits and the permit units in the Department of Home Affairs, various permits that we have been indicating. So we must, beyond this, you must also extend the scan so that we were favored with the outlook and the details and the work of that corrupt unit in the department. We must affirm that we welcome the initiative, Minister, that you want to review all the permits. And this clearly gives an indication that there's something wrong, which I think you have identified and the public protector has articulated on it. So in the sequence of the events we're dealing with this matter, it clearly gives an alarm on many areas of weakness that you are now being charged with it, as you indicate that you have established a task team to deal with this matter. We will appreciate that the committee must be favored before you go and announce it, must be favored on the details of the decision that has come from the public protector, your approach to the issues, time frames, terms of reference, and more details that are surrounding what you term as the challenge that you need to review the permits. The committee must be favored, and the committee must also input to that, enhance that good work that we want to begin to do in terms of this process that we're going to get in. So we're concluding this item with that forward summary, and our time frame to deal and conclude with this matter, Chair of the Committee and ADS Secretary, let's source the activity of the legal service on Friday. On Friday, we'll start the meeting at 9 o'clock. It will be only the committee members and the legal service of the department. And at 10 o'clock is then that we're going to take the items that the committee has invited the department to deal with. So that is the summary of our way forward on this matter. I want to thank Minister.
Chairperson.
Okay.
Excuse me, Chairperson. Yes, I'm sorry to disturb your summary. I just want to ask this issue of this committee, because everything is there. The names, the terms of reference, and why we arrived there. And I said I was about to announce it publicly. You are saying now, before I do that, I need to favor the committee. Now, what I want to ask is this. Do you want me to favor the committee in writing or come and present to the committee? Which presentation will also serve as a public announcement? Because I think that will be the best route to follow. That I come here and say, this is what led me to this. This is exactly the finding. This is what the anti-corruption unit was doing. Therefore, we believe there must be this type of review. And these are the people I selected for the review, as I've already presented to the JCPS cluster. I would just want the clarity on that, or whether you just want me to give a written document to you and announce publicly in a press conference. Which one will you choose?
We are going to invite you to the committee. We'll engage the chair and the secretary of the committee to relook on their program next week. We need to slot it, this matter, and be in favor so that you can go on the issue. I think on Friday will give an indication when I'm going to present. We need you to come and present so that members can able to input, contribute to the this matter that you'll be engaging on. Is that clear, Minister?
Yeah, it's very clear. Though I would have loved it to be this week, but I can't. It's still Tuesday today. When you say next week, it means we're still having 7 days left when I wanted the committee to start as soon as possible.
Okay.
Start work and be announced later because they've
already... We can look at it, Chair.
We'll respond to you, Minister. No, I don't want to... Comrade Aaron and Comrade Bongo, I think you're aware that I'm presiding over the meeting. We'll indicate on the... We'll note your concern. We'll indicate it through the Secretary of Parliament, and by end of today, we'll give an indication. Yeah, thanks very much, members. Thanks very much, Minister. Thanks very much, Mr. Tepe. Applaud the work of the Director General's report. We're noting it. We'll further get a legal opinion from the unit of Parliament on Friday. And we'll, this matter is now being closed for today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We're now dealing with the next item, Eddie.
The next item is the presentation by the committee researcher on the impact of SONA on the work of the department and the committee.
Okay, we will invite
Mr. Hlongwane.
Mr. Hlongwane to deal with the SONA. We're left here with SONA issues. I think members know what are the issues. We will not take time to make comments on that. Mr. Hlongwane?
Good morning, Honorable Chair, and then good morning to the ministers if they are still present here and other members of the portfolio committee, and then protocol observed. Honorable Chair, if you allow me, I'm just going to summarize actually what SONA has said. The presentation has already been sent, so I'm not going to take too much time on it because I'm just going to touch on key issues that affect only the portfolio of Home Affairs. So if Adam, you can go to slide number 4, start from there, please. So the previous slide, thank you. So now, Honorable Chair, concentrated on 4 strategic themes which were raised by the President. And when he announced that the government priority will be, focus will be to defeat COVID-19 pandemic. As we know, that is almost a year now that the pandemic has hit the shores of South Africa. And as of today, Honorable Chair, over 1.5 million South Africans have been infected by the coronavirus pandemic, and more than 49,000 people have died. Even though Home Affairs is not directly responsible on the fight against COVID, but it is good to know that government has already started with the vaccination process, and then the first priority it will be the people from the health sector. I want to assume that the second that the people from the Home Affairs will be included in the second phase, which will include essential workers, and of which that also include people from the Home Affairs, especially the frontline services, Honorable Chair. And then the second strategic theme which the President concentrated on is an acceleration of economic recovery. I'll explain this in the following slide. And also the economic reforms, job creation, and economic growth, Honorable Chair. And lastly, and most importantly, is the fight against corruption and the strengthening the state capacity. This strategic 4 themes, I'll explain them, especially the last 3, on how does it impact the Home Affairs sector. In terms of economic recovery, Honorable Chair, you will note that during the fourth quarter of last year when COVID came, unemployment rate was sitting at 29.1%. As we speak today, it's sitting at 30.8%. Economic growth last year in 2019, it was only 0.5%, and this year is actually at -6% in terms of economic growth. So what does government in terms of SONA prioritize in terms of economic recovery and creation of jobs, specifically on how Home Affairs will act? It's the African Continental Free Trade Area, which came into effect on the 1st of January this year. The African Continental Free Area Trade, Honorable Chair, it opens the trade amongst African countries. And how does Home Affairs help in this priority is in terms of issuance of documentation such as travel visas and a smooth transition of traffic amongst our borders, especially our biggest trade ports, the Libombo and the Bay Bridge border post. So this is how government want to reignite economy, and this is how Home Affairs should come in place in specific reference to the SONA. I've already mentioned the issue of job creation, Honorable Chair. During the SONA, President announced that Department of Home Affairs will publish the critical skills list within a week of the SONA. And yes, indeed, 2 days after that, the Department of Home Affairs has published the critical skills list. It's now up for public comments. And then I think the last day for public comments will be on the 31st of March this year. So it's still on the public consultation stage. And then after that, the department will decide on the final list. And then with regard to corruption, President announced that the government is on the last stages of appointing an anti-corruption advisory council, which will report to Parliament. Therefore, the Department of Home Affairs and all other government departments should align themselves with government strategies to fight corruption. Can I have the next slide, please? So one of the things which we have looked at is that the government priorities in reference to Home Affairs aligned with the National Development Plan. Yes, Honorable Chair, it aligns with the National Development Plan because according to the President, all government departments, they have to ensure that their plans are aligned to the National Development Plan. And one of the key issues which the National Development Plan highlights, if the country wants to defeat the triple challenge of poverty, unemployment, and inequality, is that government should build social compact. And this will be relations between government, private sector, labor, and other civil society and other related institutions in order for the country to move together in achieving the goals of the NDP. And in that regard, what NDP says is that at least unemployment in 2030 should be at 6.5%, and then with the economic growth averaging 5%. I've mentioned the state in terms of unemployment at the moment that we stand at 30.8% and economic growth is on the decline. This is very clear that government in its entirety has to work harder to achieve the NDP goals. And where Home Affairs comes in here is that the identity information and the visa regime is how Home Affairs assists government in reducing unemployment and economic growth. And this is explained better in the new initiative from the presidency and the treasury in what they call the Operation Vulindlela. Operation Vulindlela, Honorable Chair, aims at reigniting economic growth in the country and also leveraging on tax revenues. And Home Affairs is identified as a key player to ensure that Operation Vulindlela succeeds by issuance of visas and identity information for our people. If I have to explain now with the current unemployment which we have, the people who are unemployed, the only way they get assistance from government is if they have identity documentation. Therefore, if Home Affairs is not able to do that, people who are unemployed are unable to access state grants or apply for job opportunities. Therefore, it is very important that Home Affairs ensure, and it has been doing so in the past couple of years, that its target in terms of issuance in the country, but it is a key player because it issues the visas which enable people to visit the country. In terms of the NDP, the target is that by 2030 at least 21 million people should be able to visit South Africa as tourists, and then this number was only at 10 million in 2018. And we should know, Honorable Chair, that the tourism industry contributes at least 8% of our GDP and more than 3 million jobs in the country. And the last thing which I'll speak about in reference to SONA and the NDP is that the president spoke about the fight against corruption, that corruption has become endemic in the country. And most government reports and studies indicate that actually corruption is the hindrance to our economic growth. And this has risen in the current SONA and all the previous SONAs, which at least in the past three SONAs, that corruption has become problematic. What the NDP says is that in 2030, South Africa should be a society where there's zero tolerance for corruption, where public officials are able to be held accountable and they hold themselves to high ethical standards. Unfortunately, Honorable Chair, the reports, if you look at the scope, are only this day in terms of the PPE procurement, they leave so much to be desired if officials in government, they have high ethical standards. So if the country, and including the Home Affairs Department, want to ensure that the NDP goals are realized, we have to work harder on defeating the pandemic of corruption. At this point in time, Home Affairs has reported that in this current financial year, the 24 members of their department are under investigation or they've been suspended for fraudulent or corrupt activities. Even though the department didn't clarify in their report what exactly are such corrupt activities for, it will be important that the Department of Home Affairs improve at least the anti-corruption body which they have to ensure that corrupt activities in the department, or at least the perception of corruption in the department, is reduced. Can I have the last slide, the next slide, Adam? I think it's before. Yeah. So how does SONA impact on service delivery in respect of Home Affairs? Economic recovery operation Vulindlela, where the department will play a significant role, I've already explained that the strengthening of tourism in the country, where the way our department is a significant player in terms of issuance of travel documentation, that's what will have to be improved. And one important thing is the one-stop border post, which was announced by the minister last year. Unfortunately, the one-stop border post was not implemented; was shifted to the right due to corona pandemic. However, Honorable Chair, the Operation Vulindlela, the economic recovery which the president wants to see, and the African Continental Free Trade Area, they center on the Department of Home Affairs actually achieving or actually going ahead with the one-stop border post. Because what the one-stop border post will enable the ideals of the African Free Continental Area to come into place, with Africans trading amongst themselves. And then it will reduce congestion in our borders. So therefore, one-stop border post will have a very important impact in economic growth in the country. And then lastly, combating corruption, I've spoken about is that now the department, you say 24 of the officials have been reported by the department. And at the moment, the department is still sitting with a 450 million contract from EOH Mtombo, which is still under investigation. The portfolio committee is still to be finished with the report on the outcome of the investigation. But this shows that the department itself, in alignment with the government goals, it also has a role in combating corruption. It has a role in growing our economy. It has a role in strengthening tourism in the country. And it has a role in creating an environment for job creation in the country. The last slide, Adam, I conclude due to time. Well, in conclusion, Honorable Chairperson, is that SONA 2021 is dominated by the government strategy to fight COVID-19. What SONA didn't speak about is that this year, 2021, is the year of local government elections. SONA 2021 didn't say anything about that. In the end, Honorable Chair, the department should align itself with the SONA when presenting their APPs. I think this will be around March, because the APPs has to reflect the government priorities. And therefore, the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs should continue with oversight responsibility as it has been doing. However, there's areas for improvement, and I think some of them you have also mentioned in the meeting today, that at least from the administration side, we have to ensure that we take what the portfolio committee says the department should do, and to track if indeed those things the committee gets the response or things are acted upon. I'll end here, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Shongwani, and your team, Mr. Adams, for scanning out the issues that we must deal with as the committee and the department focus areas that have been identified. We have a responsibility to carry forward to the message of the president. And I think it's clearer on your research on this presentation. And I think that commitment, all of us, we must carry it on the visions that President with his cabinet have outlined and centered on the issue that relating to the Home Affairs. So it's a forward thinking, both on ourselves as a committee, we track the oversight work in relation to the issues that are raised, implementation costs, the minister, the DG and the DM and your collective. These are the areas that have been identified that some have been achieved in terms of their previous report. Some have not been achieved, some of their weaknesses, how we contribute to the economic recovery, and how we contribute to work against the slow pace of service delivery in relation to our work, and how we ground our focus on clean governance. So I'm going to invite members and also the minister and the team to make comments, and we pass this. We're left with almost a few minutes. If there's comment on these issues, let me start with the minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. No, Chairperson, we have heard the issues, and we agree with them, and we are busy preparing for them. On the issue of one-stop border post, yesterday, the acting commissioner of border management and the DG were actually presenting, as according to legislation, to NETLEC, because some of the steps have to go through NETLEC on the establishment of one-stop border post. So we're already doing so. You'll be aware that we have also issued the gazette on the 31st of December for public hearings in terms of the law or for public participation. Some stakeholders have already been consulted, and many of them asked for an extension from the 28th of February to the 15th of March, which extension was given because many of them said they'll still have to go and consult their principals and other stakeholders. But we will stop at the on the 15th of February for those hearings. But at the same time, it does not necessarily mean that we have stopped planning as far as that is concerned. Chairperson, can I misuse this opportunity you gave me? This morning, Chairperson, there was an NCC meeting which I've missed. I thought I'll join later, but I couldn't. There's now a special cabinet which is starting at 12. I'm just asking for permission to at least attend the special cabinet, not miss both of them. And that is at 12 o'clock. I'm making that request to you, Chairperson.
No, thanks, Mr. Minister. You are granted. We're just making comments on the report. We'll deal with the issues that I mentioned on the report. Thanks very much for your continued commitment to the committee. DM?
Thank you very much, Chair. I think from our side, really the focus should be on implementation. Because we agree, as the Minister is saying, with all the issues that have been flagged, but our focus is mainly on implementation, and some of the issues that are raised are already in progress. So thank you very much.
DJ, anything to...
I'm covered by both the Minister and the Deputy Minister, Chair. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, DJ. Members, Honourable Mtwine?
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I won't be long. The only thing that I can see on the presentation is the issue of also the corruption combating, which actually now says that would be this issue of corruption issuing of Home Affairs, the document must be looked at, and it must make sure that it does not happen, because also it can actually hamper the unemployment, we can actually hamper the way that we come up with employment and all of that. So I don't have any much a comment on this issue.
Thank you. Honourable Modisa?
Thank you, Chair. I think the presentation was precise and clear. Therefore, I do not have any comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Ross.
Thank you, Chair. Just very briefly, I think it's important that the e-visa issue, it's the fourth sona of President Ramaphosa, and in each and everyone, he's mentioned the importance of the e-visa system, not only for tourism, but for our economy in general, our economic growth. And so I think, the establishment of that central adjudication hub, working on the system, ironing out the issues of that system, these are things that can be done during lockdown. And it really should receive urgent attention. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ambrose. Honourable Molekwa? Honourable Kanyile?
Thank you, Chair. I was covered by the previous speaker. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honourable Lokwasa. Co-chair.
Thank you, our whip and our acting chairperson of the day. I will also be brief. I thank you for the presentation. I also agree that, of course, there's a lot of work for us to be done in the year ahead. We need to obviously focus on corruption, but I also would like us to focus on the failures of our immigration system as a whole, as I've outlined earlier. I also would like to raise a general issue, and that is that, and it's an issue we have raised before, but we met 2 weeks ago, Chairperson, and in that meeting, for example, I remember very clearly the Honourable Mbeki asked, for example, which specific trucking companies or industries that the department meet with. Honourable Sanyile asked about the bilateral engagements and the outcomes of those, and several other questions were asked, and it's now 2 weeks later and we have not received those responses. So, you know, as we go along in doing this work, I also remember we've asked, for example, with regard to the Border Management Authority, a clear rollout plan with timeframes, budget implications, by when will we have a permanent commissioner instead of an acting commissioner and its deputies, and those type of things are falling by the wayside if we don't keep a track of them. So I would just like to get an understanding why, for example, and it's not an issue that I have to get an answer for today, but why is it that when you know, it takes more than 2 weeks or sometimes we don't even get these questions answered? Because I'm fearing that we, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in this year, and I'm fearing that if we don't get the responses we ask for, that we actually, you know, it's a tick box exercise if we come to these committees and ask questions, only not to receive the responses. And that would be a concern, but otherwise I'm also happy with the presentation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to hand over to the chair because I want to formulate how we must deal with this thing. Members, I think the research unit must highlight issues that were raised by the committee, particularly on key issues in terms of monitoring and implementation. You know that we have now venturing directly to the issues now that we are able to comprehend them. On the issues that I'm interested on the issue that the co-chair is raising, on the issue of the Border Management Authority, the acting chair, the functions, the issue of the one-stop border post, the immigration services. So the issues that the research unit has elevated, let's just take them so that we don't ask the department in the meetings where to respond to them. So that at particular meetings, we know that this matter has been raised to the research. Part of the presentation that we want to do, they respond to these issues of, for example, of this acting border management authority or this and that, so that we are coherent and structured in terms of how we're going to deal with the with these issues. The issue of the minutes, members, we are going to deal with them on Friday. You must get time to look at them. Friday at 9 o'clock. We'll start with them and with the legal service of parliament around this thing of which we have closed the item that we've been dealing with in the morning. And then at 10 o'clock, we'll start with the meeting with the Home Affairs on the item that they're going to present. We'll request members to, because now beginning to track the issues that have been dealt with, those minutes are exposing some of the key issues that we need to deal with. We must come in that meeting highlighting some of these issues, venture directly to them, and we close the meeting. I want to thank the members and all the departments, the minister and his team, the DM, the DG, and also the DG of Labor and his team, and the complainant on how we've dealt, and we've highly appreciated the issues that are raised by the department, the Director General's report, and the issues that are raised by a member of the community, the Matepe, as has been indicating, and how members of the committee have interacted with the discussion. I think it demonstrates a commitment to complement the work of the department and also to affirm our oversight as public representatives. Thank you, members, Chairperson. If you are meeting, I was requested to facilitate the item, and I'm handing over back to you. Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Comrade Musa, and thank you to the leadership of the department, the minister, the deputy minister, Director General and Mackay and other officials. And thank you, members. I think you ran the meeting very well. We want to thank you specifically. Honorable Chavane. And the meeting stand adjourned until Friday, members. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.